wonderful. Well done, boys and girls, and moms and dads, and may God bless that offering for his name's sake. Okay, you guys like animals? What kind of animals are these?
Elephants,
right? Does anybody know the Chinese name? Okay. That sounds like Dai Zhang or something like it. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Sam, you want to say the Cantonese? Oh, was that good? You guys got a Chinese ear up there. We need to give you a mic. Yeah, these are elephants, and you know, there's a rumor around that elephants don't forget. Have you ever heard of that? Elephants never forget? And that's what the little cartoon on your bulletin's all about, that elephant's kind of forgetting what he doesn't forget, right? But why is it that elephants don't forget? Well, this is one guy's answer. He says it's memory like an elephant. How do you get it? Well, this guy says, well, why elephants never forget? They use sticky notes. Man, that's a great invention, but I don't know. Sooner or later in your life, boys and girls, if you don't have it, making lists and putting up notes to yourself, it gets you through the week. I couldn't do without that, unless you have a great wife who does that for you. But anyway, why elephants never forget? But you know, forgetting sometimes, never forgetting can be a bit troublesome. Two elephants were talking, and one says, you know, I know it's not healthy to hold a grudge, but an elephant never forgets. Just to throw a little Christian message out there, you know, it says, James, I can never forgive this person because I can't forget. Well, let me say something. You can't forgive if you don't remember. And sometimes things just keep coming back, and we need to forgive, and then re-forgive, and then re-forgive. So don't equate forgetting and forgiving. I think that's what these guys were messed up. They don't go to church. That's all right. Okay. But this is an elephant actually being truthful, whether it's or his or her friend, whatever. Okay, don't tell anyone, but I actually forget lots of things. Does that sound more like you and me? Well, this elephant's saying, well, why do elephants starting to forget nowadays? Do you know why? Nathan, you know why elephants are starting to forget? Well, this guy was talking to his bird friend, and he said, they say an elephant never forgets, but that was before I had so many passwords, usernames, and PIN numbers. I can't believe it. I got to have a master sheet to remember all those things, right? Okay. Well, what can help us remember? Well, let me see. Well, here's the animal kingdom, an overview, okay? Elephants never forget. Now, dogs sometimes forget. You know, they make mistakes, all that. But people always forget. Well, maybe we should say often. I don't know about always, but we often forget. And what can you do for memory loss? You know, where did I leave it and all that kind of stuff? Well, this one doctor has come up with a prescription. He says, this medication can actually improve your memory. Each capsule contains a tiny hard drive. Okay, I'll let you think about that one. But actually, what helps us remember what we're supposed to remember is the Word of God. And our attention is going to turn to Psalm 103. This is what we need to focus upon. If you've got a Bible, you can. I'm going to just put these verses on the screen. You guys want to stand up for a minute? I mean, stretch your legs. Boys and girls, you've been sitting so good. Why don't you stretch up? We'll stand, all stand, and we can read it together. And I'll try to pace this. But let's all read this. This is God's word to us today. And let's read it a little bit. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's great. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. That's the Word of God, which we need. We wouldn't know who God was if he didn't reveal himself, and he's revealed himself through a written message. You'd like to know how that written message came to us today, I could talk to you more about it later, but it's a marvelous, marvelous thing that you have in your hands and what we have before us. is God's message to his people. So bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now we sing about it today. We sang bless the Lord. How do you bless the Lord? Well, one of the ways, this scripture is saying, is you remember his benefits. You remember. And remember, we're that animal kingdom guy who always forgets or often forgets. And we need to remember. And when we remember these benefits that are ours, we bless the Lord. It's good for you. It's good for me. It makes me a blessed person, but it blesses the Lord himself. What are our benefits that we are to remember? Well, they list them out pretty much. This looks like an unhappy sheep, you know. The Bible doesn't say we're all like elephants and we never forget. No, the Bible says we're all like sheep. It doesn't say we're all like dogs, we're all like cats, or we all like fish. No, we're all like sheep. And what sheep like to do is to go their own way. And this little sheep has gone its own way. It doesn't want to be part of the flock. It doesn't want to have a shepherd involved in its life. But when you and I, who have been created in God's image, try to live away from a relationship with that living God, eventually we have danger in our lives. And this is the benefit, is that God comes in and he saves his sheep from the danger. And this is what it looks like. It's a good shepherd saving a sheep. And now in relationship with him, all our iniquities he takes away. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has taken all our iniquities, all that wanting to do it our own way, not to live life as he wants us to live it. He's taken that away and put it on Jesus, who died for that. All diseases, he's healed us, and most of them are listed there, Ev, the kidneys, our young friend Fiona with diabetes. Some of us have suffered various types of heart disease. All of these are going to be healed. All of them. Some of us get that luxury in this life. We lay hands on, we pray for you, and we're healed in this life. And we give God the glory for that. But eventually, everybody has to die, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that means we get total healing is waiting for us. Total healing of all diseases. How many of you guys have ever been in a pit? All I can think of that you might identify with is a mosh pit. I think at Picnic in the Park, they got a lot of guys who go right in front of the band. You know, that's called the mosh pit, right? Does that make sense? Anybody know what a pit is? And have you ever been in a real pit? It says he redeems us from the pit. Now, what kind of image is that? You know, the pit of depression? No, I think depression fits into those illnesses. You know, I've got people who have ongoing battles with cancer, ongoing battles with heart disease, ongoing battles with depression, ongoing battles with whatever. Physical illnesses. Those illnesses are going to be healed. Hang in there. And I don't say cease praying for healness even now, for healing even now. But this pit is a different type of pit. Can you remember, boys and girls, anybody in the Bible that was thrown in the pit? I'm going to have to call on Hannah Kamanada. Her hand went up so quickly. Who? Joseph and who? In the new coat, yeah. Joseph was thrown in there. He had that coat of many colors. He was thrown in there. His brothers were jealous of him, and they thought they'd just teach him a lesson. But oops, he got sold into slavery. But that's a pit. And basically, when the scriptures speak of being redeemed, that means being purchased out of the slave pit. And I was going to show you some photographs, but I thought they were too for this age group. I wouldn't show them to you, of the old slave pits in Africa, where you would go and purchase your slaves, pick them out of that pit, and they become your property. Well, this is what God has done for us in this sin-fallen world, in our selfishness, where we do not love the God who created us, where we do not love other people as we should, where we're just too selfish, and we commit all kinds of sinful things, not the way the creature was made to design to give God glory. God gets us out of that pit of self, out of that pit of sin, and puts us into being His people. Now, you and I are not perfect people, but we are saved people. Those of us who come to faith in Christ. And we have a hope that we are going to be delivered from planet Earth, which is now a pit of war, a pit of disease, all kinds of stuff here going on. But the new heaven and new earth will indeed be without sin. It'll be completely holy. And in that sense, when I say the word holy, set aside for God's purposes and completely bringing Him glory as we rule the new heaven and new earth. So whether you're a man or a woman, you and I have been in pits. I'll speak a little bit more to that in a minute. The pit of sin, the pit of selfishness, the pit of not wanting God. He takes us, He buys us out of that I hate you kind of God kind of thing to where we love Him and we serve Him. And we're going to live with Him forever. But He's also crowned us. How many of you guys got a crown at home? Anybody?
I mean, it's
man.
Exactly the same.
It's the same crown?
Yeah, exactly the same.
Wow. Is this your picture? Okay. Well, anyway. How many of you guys got a baseball hat at home? Anybody? Or just a cap. You know, a cap with, it probably says Chelsea Football Club on it. You know, or whatever. You put it on your head and it gives you some covering from the sun, right? You know, here in Hong Kong it gets really hot, and at the beach today there'll be some guys going down to the volleyball. And I think there's soccer on the beach today, by the way. But anyway, I want to go down there and watch that, but I'll wear a hat. And my hat is not really bringing me status. It's just basically keeping me from the sun. But a crown gives you status. It gives you purpose. It gives you identity. And what he is trying to say, the psalmist is saying, that he's redeemed us, our life in the pit, and he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The love and mercy of God is on you in such a way that that's who you are. And remember last week's sermon, adults, we said, who are you? Yeah, I'm a chief sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. I'm a saved sinner. I'm a child of God through faith in Christ. That's a great crown. This love and mercy of God will never cease. It's on you. It's your identity. Anybody taking bets on what the new princesses will be called? Kate and William, by the way, had a little baby, okay, baby girl. And they're going to, haven't named it yet. Ruth was telling me the queen mother has to say what name's okay. But anyway, little crowns for the royalty of England. But you've got crowns as the children of the living God. And it's a crown of steadfast love and mercy of God on your life. Okay, you guys like eagles? You know, we sing about these songs, soaring like an eagle. If you go to Nepal and you look around, you'll see some nice birds. Some eagles. They're marvelous creatures. And they can go so, so high. God blesses you. He blesses me with good things. And we get higher and higher with Him until that blessed day when our strength is completely renewed, resurrected, and a new heaven, a new earth. We got to keep remembering these benefits, right? We're like that elephant who forgets, or like that man who forgets. You know, we just think that all we are, I'm just a student at school. I'm just a 60-year-old bald-headed guy who likes football. No. There's more to you and there's more to me than just this temporary earth vocation. Now, boys and girls, you need to do as well as you can in school. Not for your moms and dads, but for Jesus, okay? For His glory. Try to learn as much as you can and be the best in what you like to do and learn. and moms and dads and James in our vocations, whether it's preaching, flying an airplane, medicine, law, whatever your work is, we do that unto him the best we can. It is important, but my identity is what? Being renewed in strength to fly, strong like an eagle with God. So these word pictures in the Bible try to help us get ourselves off just the trials and the challenges of life, and to keep our mindset where we're headed. Okay, let's look at the benefits again. Forgives all our iniquities. You know, every time you got mad with your brother or sister, every time you said no to your mom or dad when they asked you to do something, every time you said something bad at work, every time you said a curse word, every time you drank too much, ate too much, whatever, too much, all have been forgiven. Heals all our diseases. Now this is where it gets a tricky. You know, James, look, I've been battling cancer. I've been battling depression. I've had this diabetic problem. He's not healed me yet. What's this? He heals us all our diseases. This is. He's healing. He is healing. I believe that all suffering has a purpose, and God is a very just and loving God. And when we cross over into eternity, there's something about your body, your experience, my experience with suffering that's going to reflect some kind of a healing and glory that outweighs it. In other words, the light and momentary sufferings that we're going through now, and that could be AIDS, cancer, it could be loss of a loved one. That light and momentary suffering cannot be compared to the great glory that awaits. And that's the only way God could be a just God. Other than that, he's just a sadistic God. He likes to make us have a hard time. No. So he heals all our diseases. With that said, how many of you have been healed in some way by God? You see these hands? He heals our diseases. And if I went around, and we looked at that slide of all the diseases, we'd see that. Yeah. He does heal us. Many in here have experienced his healing. So don't give up if you're suffering from either emotional illness or a physical illness. Keep praying. I don't know God's will for you, but I do know God's will in the end. You're going to be perfectly healed, and somehow that suffering you've gone through here cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be worked out in you. Okay, he heals all our diseases. Redeems our life from the pit. The pit. Well, I was a mixed up kid, a teenager, and I didn't know where I was going in life. And yeah, I tried substance abuse. I was just speaking to someone. Did anybody listen to RTHK3 Radio 8:30 this past Saturday? Deepak did. Anyway, I was interviewed by Anna Fenton Healy, I think, or Anna Healy Fenton. Well, Anna had a trolls and something, in other words. She's got a HKR, Hong Kong Radio 3 had a program, and she's interviewing me about drug abuse or substance abuse, underage drinking, and DB. Well, I went through that as a child, as a teenager, and I kept it up until I was age 23, and I had had enough. I was in a pit. Thankfully, I was not an alcoholic or a drug addict, but I came to my senses. How? Because of the grace of God. He got me out of that pit, and then I became his. Some of us have been in some real pits and been delivered from that. We all don't have to jump into that pit. But sooner or later, you, boys and girls, even though you come from good families, you got to come to grips that there's something about you that's not all pretty. There's something about you that's called sin. And some of that sin, if you let it rule in your life, will take you to a literal pit. But he redeemed my life from a pit, and I'm really grateful for that. And it helps me to remember that and never be too prideful. There's nothing that God can't deliver a man or a woman from. And he crowns us with his steadfast love and mercy. Now, we know it, okay? We know it. This morning, this projector wasn't working. And Kenny Lau's not here. He's kind of our techie guy for the setup. And then the projector started working. I think if you would ask Ev or Tom or others who were here trying to work things out together, they'd say, we don't know what we did. It just started working. That's kind of called mercy. You know, you need mercy every now and then in your life. You don't know what in the world's going on, and then God does something for you, and it just happens. And it's, that was mercy. I didn't deserve it. Actually, he's withholding punishment sometimes. That's mercy. Okay, we know this kind of stuff. But do you feel God loves you this morning? You feel loved? Some of you are going like this. Others are going, probably not, Jamie. I don't feel like he loves me. Love and mercy is your crown. Boy, that steadfast love and his faithfulness that endures for all generations, it's repeated so often in the Psalms. And a few of us guys are reading through the Old Testament, and we have a psalm we read every day, but we see this phrase repeated and repeated, but his steadfast love endures forever. And it's that forgiveness love. You know, every day we come and say, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Give us our daily bread and forgive us as we forgive those who sin. And forgive us, and forgive us, and forgive us, and forgive us, and forgive us. Forgive me for I got mad. Forgive me for I thought these things. Forgive me for I said these things. Forgive me. It doesn't cease how many times I have to ask for forgiveness. You want to appropriate the Holy Spirit's power? You just fall on your knees and say, forgive me. You know how you've sinned. I know how I've sinned. So he crowns me with his steadfast love and mercy. He doesn't stop. Okay, James, you've reached pastor level now. You shouldn't have these non-pastor level sins. No, there's no such thing. Idols of what? I keep saying this over and over, guys. I want to see if you got it. We got three major idols in our life. Idols of pleasure, and sometimes that's what we call the flesh in the Bible. We've got idols of possession. The world, and we got idols of reputation. We want to have our identity as being in something, my pride. So the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're all out there working at me and working at you. And when I fail, I come back to Christ and ask for forgiveness. That's that being crowned with a steadfast love and mercy. It doesn't cease. It's there. It's there for you. Do I want to abuse that? That grace will abound? No. But that steadfast love never ceases. Satisfies us with good. Anybody have anything good happen to you this week? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody have a good thing? Renata, what happened to you that was good? Sometimes it's so good we can't talk about it, all right? That sounds like a good thing's happened. Brent, what was happening to you? What was good?
My son's birthday party last night went very well.
You know, he's even staying awake during the sermon. I think that's pretty good. That's good. Anybody else want to say something good happened? I don't mind sharing this pulpit. Tom? Good meeting what? Oh, good meeting and also shared the gospel. This is in the workplace you speak of. Yeah. Yeah, some good stuff happened in the workplace. Yeah. Well, he satisfies us with good things and renews our strength. If you're feeling a little weak right now, don't lie about it. Don't pretend you're not feeling weak. I mean, maybe you're feeling like you're emotionally drained. You're out of energies. And you just need to say, yeah, God, I'm emotionally drained. I'm out of energies. But, I want to remember these benefits, and I want to bless you, Lord. I do want to bless you. So the application is pretty simple for today's sermon. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember. Remember His benefits. Maybe you can remember how He's forgiven you this week of sins. Maybe you can remember when He got a hold of your life. And some of us, as a child, some of us, we can't really point back to exactly when I came to faith. It was just, I just grew up with Jesus. He was around me all the way. But others of us can remember, yeah, I was in a pit. And He came and He put me out of that. I can remember. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in with me. May I always bless Him forever and remember His benefits. You know, Jesus is on our side, and He wants to help us remember His benefits. And He's given us something that helps us do that, and that's this. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's why, boys and girls, I like for us to have our communion service. If you're new to our church, we only celebrate the sacrament on the first Sunday of the month. But I like it when boys and girls are here, and you can ask mom and dad, what's that cracker all about, you know? That little cup of grape juice, what's that all about, you know? And then mom and dad, you go back home and you try to explain the best way you can who Jesus is and what He did. Because basically, this is what ties you and I together as a community of faith. It's not because we give monies to Nepal or to certain good causes like Fiona. It's not because we read our Bibles and even pray. No, what holds us together is our faith that there was a man, Jesus the Christ, who came from God, who went to the cross, who died in order that you and I can become children of God. We have to remember that. It's not about performance. God does not accept us by performance. He accepts us through faith. The righteousness that comes through God comes through faith alone in Christ. And so in just a moment, for all of those of you who believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for you, whose blood was shed for you, whose body was given for you, you're welcome to come down and celebrate, to eat this bread and to drink this wine. Scriptures tell us that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that's why many of you are weak and sick. And a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So boys and girls, moms and dads, those of us who aren't parents, we are asked to examine ourselves. Because we don't want to come down here in an unworthy manner. So if you think that Buddha's okay and Jesus and put them together, no, that doesn't work. That's an unworthy manner. If you think that you're a better Christian than anybody else in this building, that's an unworthy manner. We are all saved people looking to the one Lord. Is there anything in your heart that you need to confess? If there's any sin that you've done, take opportunity to do that now, and that will prepare our hearts so that we do not take in an unworthy manner. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for every young person and older person here, and we just want to be truthful. Lord, is there anything in our heart that we need to confess before You right now? I thank You for Your word, which says that if we confess our sins before You, You are faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as the scripture told us today, all our iniquity is forgiven. And so, Lord, we want you to be pleased as we eat this bread and drink from this cup. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. So on the night that Christ was betrayed, he was with his disciples, and he took the bread. We think it probably looked kind of like this, you know, not a loaf of bread, but just a kind of a pita bread thing. And he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you." Likewise, he took the cup. Probably some sort of pottery vessel like this one. And it was with wine. And he said, "This wine is the new blood of the new covenant. This is my blood shed for you. And every time you eat and every time you drink, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember me." Can I ask the elders to come down and help me with the elements and distributing them? Dave and Norman are away, so I've asked Tom to help out. We did not distribute the elements to you, but we ask you to come down to help us. If you would just be careful, watch out for the wires as you walk around, and just follow the crowd, and you'll see the way it's done. Celebrate. Crystal, his blood given for you. Jenny Lynn, his blood shed for you. Micah, Christ's blood shed for you. Robbie, Christ's blood shed for you. VA, Christ's blood shed for you. Wendy, Christ's blood shed for you. 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 Olivia, Jody, Christ's blood shed for you. Christ's blood shed for you, Cecilia. Blessings on you guys. Keep growing up strong in the Lord. Christ's blood shed for you, Helen. Christ's blood shed for you, Emily. Christ's blood shed for you, Marilyn. Anders, Christ's blood shed for you. Welcome back, Jean. Christ's blood shed for you. Blessings on you, young man. When you know Jesus, I'll give you some blood later, okay? You get a little bit bigger. Yeah. Christ's blood shed for you. Do you know what did Jesus do for you on the cross? You answer that one, I'll tell you. Christ's blood shed for you. Graham, Christ's blood shed for you. Brent, Christ's blood shed for you. Just when you get a little older, we'll give it to you, okay? Christ's blood shed for you. Kelsey. I'm just blanking on this little guy. Christ's blood shed for you, Ronnie. Christ's blood shed for you, David. Deepak, Christ's blood shed for you, boy. Zena, Christ's blood shed for you.
Did you,
I know. So to tell the guy we made a mistake. Christ's blood shed for you, right? But bless Carter and this is Carter, right?
Landon.
Well, this is Landon and Carter. Christ's blood shed for you, Amy. Yeah. Blessings on you, Ben. Hi there, big girl. Hi. Blessings on you. Christ's blood shed for you, Marcus. Christ's blood shed for you. Welcome. Christ's blood shed for you, Johnny. Christ's blood shed for you. Welcome. Shed for you, Bonnie. Blood of Christ shed for you, Pete. Normally, what we do, I take this one, then you offer it to me. You see? Thank you. Christ told his disciples the next time they were going to do that was in paradise when he would eat and drink with them. And there's going to be some big celebration, and I don't think it's going to be just a little cracker, but the best bread and best wine that you can imagine. That first night, when he talked to his disciples, then they did what? They sang a song. They went out to the garden. So that's our tradition here. We're going to sing a song. And then we'll go out to the, we'll have another song, and then we'll go to, what's it called? The podium for a bit of tea there. Okay. So let's sing a song.